Blog Talk Radio.
Forgot about John. CPS entrance music. Well, I'll try to sneak in between while the spiders and the ghosts are all coming after us for Thanksgiving dinner.
It's the same intro, still real long.
Crime video. Jesus. Okay, with no further theme music going on there. Jeez Louise. Anyhow, welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Today, 16th of November. Hope everybody out there is doing fantastic. I am your host, Dave Atwell. I'm from a chilly Jacksonville, North Carolina, where I am bundled up, ready for tonight's show. Still not feeling 100%, but you know what? We got the man up. Even though we can't have toxic masculinity now, I've got the man up. Get things done. So, as I kick it around the room to my theme panel tonight, I am going to try to light this cigar up because no matter how bad I feel, I am always up for a delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville. So, starting it off in the fantastic state of Arkansas, God knows, Dave, yeah, you got to pull the cover off the lighter, and then the lighter works. Call the safety. Call the safety mechanism. Jeez. This is why we don't do these things like, web chats and, Zooms and that kind of jazz, the amount of stupid stuff that happens. Nevertheless, kick it back over to the state of Arkansas and our very own Granny Hulkster. How are you doing this evening?
Well, it's been very chilly in Arkansas, too, surprisingly enough. I mean, Monday night, let's see, last Saturday we just had very little, snow. I mean, not even a dusting of snow flurries, And then Monday night, it started coming down pretty good, covered the grass and the vehicles, but, it wasn't a whole lot. But it's been very cold here in good old Springdale, Arkansas. But I'm doing well. I mean, I ready for a good show. Glad to be back on. Sorry I had to miss last week, but it is what it is, but I'm glad to be back. So,
yeah, good to have you back. Yeah, we got cut off a little. We had a little bit of phone issues last week. My phone just suddenly bit the dust, went from like 60% to 0%. And then it did some reset thing, so it totally cut the backside of the show off. So my apologies for last week's lack of a close. Got some things in place to keep that from happening tonight, knock on wood. But, Granny, it's good to have you here. Good to have you back. And I'm going to swat it east of you to the fine, fine town, city, or whatever kingdom they call Indianapolis and the outlying regions where the alpaca distribute drugs underground tunnels on their backs right to Tim's residence where he is the alpaca blow cartel for Indianapolis. Don't tell him your name, Tim. Tim, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great, but my name is definitely not Tim. And I would venture to say the alpacas would have to be a cover-up because the ones that make the holes in the ground are the moles. They make it look like Bugs Bunny lives in my backyard. So those would be the ones pushing drugs on the ground. But,
we don't need no stinking golfers.
kids. He caught me. If I sound funny, I got a mouthful of Skittles. I don't know what I did putting a mouthful of Skittles in when I knew I was going to be up on deck. Anyway, it's cold out, but I'm liking to see the snow. I don't know why, but it just looks kind of cool. It's like the second snow that's been visible this year, in my opinion. But anyway, enough to keep me inside. So we just got a new heater. I'm enjoying the nice warmth. They're still supposed to come back, put finishing touches on it, but it is operational. And I'm looking forward to a good show.
Outstanding. Good to have you aboard. Good to hear you got the heat going too, man. We, you know, not to go into the details, but there comes a particular point in every female's life where things become just hot all the time. And unfortunately, my wife is going through that, and I'm here to tell you, she has the damn air conditioner blowing, and where do I sleep? Right next to that air conditioner. So she's laying on one side of the bed with no blankets. I'm laying on the other side of the bed with pajama pants, socks, three blankets, and two dogs pulled up against me just so I don't damn die of hypothermia in my sleep. So, as a matter of fact, I was just asking just now, the damn air conditioner kicked on, and I says, how in the hell is it 4 below outside and the air conditioner is kicking on in here? And, of course, I get that forlorn look, and I'm like, uh-huh, been touching that damn thermostat again. We all know you keep your hands off thermostat, and that will resonate. So there's going to have to be a counseling when I get off the air tonight about touching
the
thermostat.
You just need to put it. Kind of rig it with the shock collar type thing.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
You know,
well,
son, that's a pretty
you know,
fair
Dave.
Idea.
Okay, you know, Dave, I mean, I've been having hot flashes for years. I mean, I stay hot all the time. And you would think, being on a blood thinner like I am, that I would be freezing cold all the time. No.
Yeah.
It's the opposite. I think actually when I started taking blood thinners for my blood clots back in 2004, it never made me. Now, that, of course, that might change in another 10 years when I hit the big 70, you know. But right now, it's got to be pretty cold outside for Granny to even wear a coat, you know. So I can understand. I mean, no, I don't have my air conditioning on in my house. I have my heater on because it's been pretty cold outside. But, you know, but no, I stay, I'm like warm-blooded all the time. And even in being on blood thinners, I don't get cold. And I should, you know, because everybody that I've talked to, oh, don't you freeze? You're on blood thinners. I'm like, no, I don't. You know, so. I can sympathize with your lovely wife, you know. So I understand what she's going through.
She's sitting here talking about how hot she is, and me, I'm over there in the corner doing a "I'm Mr. White Christmas, I'm Mr. Ten Below." And it's like, Christ, I sound like I'm going to sleep out in the damn recliner where I got a fighting chance of living. You know what I mean? Hey, this is crazy. But nevertheless, that's how things go here in At Will Resonance. You're only in charge when you're standing next to whatever you want to be in charge of. Everybody does everything on the backside to the point where you got to constantly. I'm going to put one of those lock boxes like they got it in damn retail stores over the damn thermostat. I think I'm going to employ Todd's idea with the shock collar. Every time you touch it, it's like fries your ass or something. Nevertheless, speaking of Todd, my good brother and anchor man, how are you doing this evening, young man?
Outstanding, the supernatural, ecstatic to be here and laughing at you fussing about what is a balmy 48 degrees. Although you guys are going to break freezing hard here shortly. For there, I mean, look, people, their average low doesn't get below and stay below freezing. Just their where old Diamond Dave is. So don't.
Doesn't negate the fact I'm still cold.
I get it, but
still shivering my balls
up here. We're like, yeah, well, we had to go uphill both ways to school as far as cold goes.
That's right.
Just saying.
Like the bears. You know,
and it was a polar bear. It was a polar bear, to be clear.
Polar bear. Yeah. You know, and back in the day, I could hang with the cold, no problem. But when I started shaving my head for some reason, it's like I didn't realize how much heat the mullet was, like, holding into my body. And ever since I shaved my head, man, it's like, yeah, I just get colder than hell, man. I don't know what my problem is. You see me walking around the house, damn sweatshirt on, and I'm like, man, normally I'm the guy walking around just a pair of britches, you know, doing the old nature boy for everybody, but I can't get warm these days. I don't know what the hell's going on. Blood pressure's fine, except for when stuff's going wrong around here and people touching the thermostat, it goes up. But, yeah, I don't know why.
We had one of those neighbors growing up. That old man, he'd be out there, state highway patrolman, all that kind of stuff, like old school, tough guy, Army veteran, World War II, the whole kit caboodle, you know, Battle of the Bulge guy. And he'd be shoveling snow in the winter and his wife beat her. He'd be like, good grief.
Taking no shit off of that snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was cutting meat, I mean, the cold meant nothing to me. It was just, Todd, you remember how many people we lost? You know, everybody wanted to work back there and fresh with us and everything. And I used to always have the interviews, and you see me, whenever I went to go interview somebody, I'd interview them in the cooler or the freezer. And yeah, I'd just watch them, 30 seconds, see how they held up. Because it doesn't get any warmer in those things. And me and you used to stand in there many a day, damn button-up shirt, pair of slacks, minus 20 degrees, driving forklifts and all that kind of good stuff. Didn't bother us a bit. But these guys, man, I don't know what it is now, man. I just cannot seem to get warm. Good news is that now my current profession with the pressure washing actually comes in handy in the summertime, because now the heat doesn't feel hotter than hell, but I mean, it doesn't feel as miserable as it normally does. So I don't know, perhaps it's another, my body is going through climate change possibly. Maybe I'm starting to turn the corner. Getting into the old geriatrics. Won't be long. I'll be sitting in the
man, no pause.
Turn down your damn music. Slow down. Where's my prune
juice? Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. God damn it, shuffleboard's coming on. Anyhow, tonight, our topic is absolutely nothing. So, Todd had a few good ideas.
Get a couple thoughts. I know you got an upcoming con.
Right.
And definitely we want to be talking about that.
That's not like Khan
about...
or Shaka Khan or Kublai Khan. It's more like Comic Con, just to kind of clarify.
There we go. It's not to be confused with that little dwarf escaping the prison down the wall on a rope, and I thought, well, that's a little condescending.
Damn. That was good. I like it. Very, very good. Now I can't get this thought out of my head. A dwarf scaling down the side of the wall in his orange jumper. He is a condescending. Yeah, so we've got all kinds of stuff happening around us right now. And as Todd alluded to, we got the cons coming up. So real quick, like, I'll kind of buzz through the logistics on that. So that way it isn't the Dave 90 minutes. We've got the Havelock Con coming up here this Saturday. And believe it or not, Havelock, North Carolina, hence the name Havelock Comic Con. And that'll be running from 10 to 5 at the Havelock Tourist and Event Center in, believe it or not, Havelock, North Carolina. It's $10 admission. You will find many vendors. You will find the likes of the Brothers Boyd from YouTube, Dr. John Stamey and his books and cryptozoology stuff. Marilyn will be there, the crafty nerd. My good friend Jose will be there with his Funko Pops. If you're into those, he owns several booths, as they call it, at some of these stores. And he is kind of like the cartel boss for the Pops here in Onslow County. Great guy, good friend of mine. And he will be there. Dr. John said there are tons of vendors that are going to be there, so looking forward to that. And, you know, cons are kind of funny when you go in there. And granted, when you go to cons, the stuff's going to be marked up a little bit, and it's just what happens. But when you're looking for particular stuff that you just can't drive to a Walmart and find, I've always said pick it up at cons because two things. Number one, you save the shipping, because when you speak about cartels, the postal services, the new Al Capone, you can't mail a fart for under $5. So if it's readily available at con and, you know, costs a little more, think about what it would cost you on eBay. You get retail and then you tack on that shipping. You're better off just getting in a con. Plus, you're helping out local business people, people that aren't Walmart or Target and are trying to make a living through selling wares at cons, and it supports them and it helps them out quite a bit, and they will crawl through a mile of broken glass to help you out. You'll meet a lot of fine people at these vendor booths, and actually we'll get to be good friends with you, and we'll keep on the lookout. If there's a particular something you're into, a lot of them have a knack for keeping up with that, and when they've come across product, they'll get hold of you and say, hey, you know, you interested? So we've got that going this Saturday, November 19th. So then we're going to kick it to the next weekend to November 26th and 27th, which will be at Grand Strand Con in Myrtle Beach. Be down there with the Millers, and Dr. John will be there. I believe Stroh's going to be there. Josh Mayers is going to be there. I'm trying to think of some other folks. Right off the top of my head, drawing blanks, but it's not unusual for a guy my age. Nevertheless, we'll be doing that on November 26th. Yeah, I need like cue cards like Biden has where I can just read it off a teleprompter. Then December 10th, we'll be having another pop swap, a Christmas pop swap, at Lion Eyes Games. They're a New River Shopping Center there in Jacksonville. And the first one went off good. Didn't get the attendance we wanted, but unfortunately what we did not know, and Todd can attest to this after living in the area long enough, when the first leaf falls out of a tree, I don't know what it is about Eastern North Carolina. Everything becomes a festival. I mean, it's anything has a festival in the month of September, October, November. I don't care if it's, I mean, we've got Mum Fest, Azalea Festival, Pizza Crust Festival, Toenail Clippings Festival, Colostomy Bag Festival, you name it. They're having a festival for it, and apparently there was like a half dozen of these damn things going on when we threw the pop swap for Halloween. So the attendance wasn't quite where we wanted it to be. I will tell you this, though, is that the vendors there had a lot of good stuff and a lot of good deals, and the people who did show up walked away with a lot of loot and did not bankrupt themselves. So that was a big win for the buyers on that one. But December 10th, again, we'll be there at Lion Eyes Games, which is a fine place to go if you're into the Magic Gathering stuff and Pokemon cards and the one of those little Warcraft miniatures and Heraclix and all that kind of jazz. Shay has really, in a short span of time, has really diversified that building. And, you know, what started up as a couple boxes of gaming cards and some fold-up tables, he has actually got that thing up and running, and cool place to go. I mean, he's even speaking on renting out the building next to him, which, you know, I have absolutely zero problem or any type of concern. That guy would be able to fill that up and maintain it with no problem at all. So we're glad he's hosting us again for this pop swap coming up in December. And that'll be it for me until February. There's an outside chance that I'm going to be at Barnes & Noble in January, but I don't want to be betting on it. It just depends on how things fall into place. But, yeah, nevertheless, that is it. And, you know, remember, when you go to the cons, go there and have a good time. Just don't worry about it. And if you're in there pinching pennies and everything, then just don't even go to the damn thing to start with. You're there to have fun. You're there to have a good time. And I know times are tough, but what's wrong with socking away a little bit of money and bringing a smile to your face for one day, and you can be miserable for the other 364 days that year? So, yeah, stop on by.
I've gone to some of those independent cons fairly reasonable on the wallet, just to be clear. And I tell you, time of the year-wise, timing might not be bad because seems a lot more okay to embrace your inner geek than it used to be. And you can find some stuff to feed that inner geek in the holidays for those of you or those around you that have it. You can find those gifts for that hard-to-please person. It's definitely a mini treasure trove and a ton of talent.
Yeah, man. And there's and it's good to see everybody. And, you know, Todd, you can attest to it. You know, you kind of have like your another family, so to speak. And the amount of teamwork that goes into these things is pretty phenomenal. I mean, granted, there are some people that don't rub each other the right way, and it happens in any type of group atmosphere, but by and large, you will find that as people set up their stuff, they don't compartmentalize themselves. It's like they set up the stuff and they start walking around going, hey, dude, can I give you a hand? Hey, do you need this? Hey, can I help you with that? And, you know, you end up breaking the ice with a lot of people. And to be quite honest with you, there are more people that I've met through the cons that I keep up with more than people I used to work with 7 days a week in retail. So, you know, those are the kind of people you're coming up on at these cons and everything. And as Todd alluded to, there's a lot of talent. And if you dig that kind of stuff, man, that is the place to be. Good times. The only problem is I'm not getting any Todd's cookies, now that he's out of town. So I'm having to bring some other snacks because I don't have the Kahlua cookies and that kind of jazz handy. But
one
day, yes, he will return to the area and the cookies will become tradition again. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the show. Got a lot of art going out there. As a matter of fact, I had a good week in Etsy this week, man. Sold uh, fair amount of stuff. And, yeah, I was happily surprised at the amount of sales I made this week. Now, granted, you know, it may have something to do with a little bit of Christmas prep and everything, but nevertheless.
Maybe with that extra money you can pay the extra electric for the air conditioner.
Buy that shock collar. Hell yeah. Either that or buy some damn more coats, one of the two, or more blankets. The way it goes. But
that's
out there in the world. Man, we've got.
I can see Dale. Why is there a big pan of water underneath where the thermostat is? Oh, no.
Yeah, I get you one of those damn those hand warmer things that you get, those little crack, you know, you crack them open and you put them in your gloves and warm your hands up. Before I go to bed, I'll crack those open and duct tape it to the damn thermostat so that way it keeps it from cutting on and go with it. But, yeah, there's a lot of
apparently you would need an ice pack for it so it don't cut on.
That run it the other direction. Yeah, that and their damn air conditioning. Now, if I get the heat on, which might end up that might end up being tonight's argument. You know, when you got to turn on the heat for the first time and everything smells like burnt popcorn with the dust and everything.
Oh yeah, especially with all those dogs.
Yeah, yeah, that's another one of those unforeseen hazards of having multiple dogs in the house is, you know, you go to pick your vents up. You know, I got an occasion, you know, I'll go by probably once a month and I'll pick the vents up out of the damn floor and I'll blow them out or vacuum them off or wipe them down or whatever, because you're going to have dog hair one way or another. But then you look down in the damn ducts and you're like, oh, man, next thing you know, you're taking the damn vacuum, the wet dry vac, and you're just dropping that hose down there. It's like, God, how are they even not bald at this point with the amount of hair they leave on this damn floor? Did y'all see the picture, the 2-month picture of Violet that I posted?
Mm-hmm.
You see the size of that damn thing? That dog is going to be freaking huge, man. And she's not even 6 months yet.
She's a pretty baby.
I love big dogs. She is gorgeous. I'll take all the compliments I can for that. She is a pretty dog. All four of my dogs are pretty damn good-looking dogs, if I don't say so myself. But, yeah, she is just – she is something else.
You can say good-looking dogs. Just remember, whether you're talking about dogs or not, you can't get away with saying it's a hot bitch.
Hot bitch, that's right. That's rapper talk right there. Anywho, the world has gone nuts this week. We've got FTX walking off with billions of people's dollars. They actually... some people filed a class action lawsuit today against Tom Brady, Steph Curry, Larry David, a bunch of celebrities that were doing, because you remember Larry David did that commercial where he was like going through time going, that'll never work. They've named him on the lawsuit, and the lawsuit is claiming that they enticed low information people into investing money into a company that was really nothing more than a damn Ponzi scam. And, you know, on the surface, I hear that and I go, oh, well, people aren't that stupid, except in Arizona.
Really? You worked retail, you know better than that.
After watching this past election cycle, I'm going, okay, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I'm that's another thing, too. You know, we had the 1.9 billion. I'm doing the Dr. Evil finger, billion dollar Powerball ticket. And, you know, they had, out of all those tickets sold, they had the results of that thing narrowed down to one buyer in California in about 5 hours flat. But it took Arizona a week to count 3 million damn ballots. There is something. Either the folks at Powerball are exceeding expectations, or the folks in Arizona are need improvement. One of the two. It's wow, incredible. You know what I mean? It's something to make you wonder. And then overseas, we have missiles errantly flying into Poland today. What kind of shit's that? As if Poland hasn't caught enough hell in the damn in history. You know, these guys are getting up, going to work, you know, just trying to get to AutoZone so they can make their damn, you know, $12 an hour. And here come missiles. And now they're saying that the missiles were actually anti-ballistic, shot from Ukraine. So they were actually Ukrainian missiles. But everybody's saying, well, if it wasn't for Putin shooting off stuff, they wouldn't have to shoot those anti-ballistic ones. So even though they're Ukrainian, they ain't really Ukraine's fault. So I don't know. It's the old classic when you have neighbors, and we've all been there where we've lived at a place and had neighbors that have a rather turbulent lifestyle. And you sit in your living room and you're watching Laverne and Shirley, and you can hear them arguing next door, and you just kind of sink a little bit lower down in your recliner in case the bullets start flying, you know. It's no different when it comes down in Poland. Yeah, Poland is what? Todd, help me out, to the northwest of Ukraine, I think, if I'm looking at my mental map correctly.
Hell, we got to make sure we look at the way things are done. Sorry, but I've been watching the damn World War II Eastern Front thing. And so I'm a little wackadoodle on the way I'm reading my map. Because I'm still trying to get over the, it's going to be, I mean, that was relatively east of Germany. Think of it that way.
Yeah, because Poland borders Germany to the east immediately, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
like
well, yeah, Germany's east, Poland's west.
And I'm going to put in my two cents, and I'm going to throw in the wacky that we've been talking about Tom Brady, and we've just now been talking about Germany. This past Sunday, Tom Brady won a football game in Germany. There you go.
Very good. And his old lady got caught with some dude in Costa Rica. So it didn't take long for the world to turn there. You don't talk about some quick turnover, man. Shouldn't there be like a cool-off period? It's always, and I'm probably going to offend with this. It won't be the first time. As a matter of fact, you know, all of our British listeners have dropped off. I wonder if it's because of all the wisecracks about taking the L in 1776 and all that jazz. Nevertheless, you ever meet folks that like have their significant other pass after a long union, and like the next month they've got somebody with them, and you're going, dude, the goddamn tombstone hasn't even showed up to the cemetery yet. You're already holding hands with somebody. Like, shouldn't there be some type of cool-off period? So, not taking anything away from Giselle. I mean, good for her getting back on the horse and getting on with her life and moving on. I mean, we got to do that, but wow. And ran off with her jiu-jitsu instructor. You know the old memes about the guy who does this, the guy who does that, her brother, her dad, and you? Poor old Tom. What a year he's having. Buccaneers suck. He's getting sued for something he had no control over. His old lady damn rebounds in about 5 days flat.
Yeah, it was a rebound.
Got to suck to be Tom right now. I don't think I'd ever find myself actually saying that, but it's got to suck to be Tom. As a matter of fact, let me go out on a limb and say this. That in the event you're having a bad day, maybe you're a little down and out, had a little bad luck and that kind of jazz, when you go to bed tonight, just keep in mind that you're probably doing better than Tom Brady is right now. And that, by God, is a feather to stick in your cap before you lay down at night. Out of all the other days that Tom Brady has the edge, maybe today you had a better day than Tom. So keep your damn chin up. But, man, what a week. That guy's having a tough run right now, man. Damn. Something to behold. Now, Todd, I'm going to kick this over to you because I want to hear your commentary on this. Going back to the missiles over Poland thing, and this is how I want to kind of go ahead and smack the ball on your side of the net. But what I want to start it off with is this. This is the stuff that if you look at how, like World War One, okay, some nitwit shot the Kaiser, and before you know it, we have the deadliest conflict in human history up to that point over some nitwit assassinating another nitwit. And God rest the Kaiser's soul. Didn't mean it to be derisive sense, but how the smallest of things can somehow create mass destruction out of the smallest of events. So, you know, Todd, on this, you know, with your military experience, please let me know what you're thinking of. How, regardless of who shot these missiles over Poland, how is this going to, because Poland's part of NATO, which
yep.
makes things
remember,
even
there's a key word in that phrase, may require response. May.
Right.
So is it possible all that? Well, shit. It's not like Ukraine hasn't been a surrogate of NATO and half the other rest of the world anyways at this point. But because, you know, just remember what goes up must come down. Not everything that goes up that's meant to be ground net, you know, surface to air is that clearly they, even if they're planned to explode up there, they don't always do that. You got to wonder if somebody rewickered something. Truth, I'm wondering if that wasn't my first thought goes into shadiness. So did they try to do a fast one and try to get people to buy off? Because you have a former Soviet bloc country versus, you know, the mother of the Soviet bloc, common weapons. Were they trying to set Russia up to get them to jump in? At this point, got to understand. I think there'll be some pause. It's not the Cold War anymore. But you are talking nuclear-powered country. And it was different when we had a bunch of shit facing each other on either side of the wall, in my mind, than it is today. In fact, today might be a little murkier. I don't think this will cause immediate escalation in a true NATO deployment, but I think we're going to see a bunch of shit get stationed in Poland just in case.
And those guys,
bunch of shit.
You know, they've got to be a little bit. They got to be a little bit itchy there in Poland. You know what I mean? Because, they're historically speaking, that country has. Matter of fact, that is, and leave it to me to look these things up. I actually looked up where Polish jokes came from. Where was the derivative of that? And the reason why people crack Polish jokes is because that country has caught hell throughout history, because Poland's one of those countries that has been under Ottoman rule, Roman rule, Germanic rule, Nazi rule, communist rule.
Let's hold on before you go straight Nazi. Well, people don't remember, and be damned if history books phrase this well in general. It's funny how quick shit turns, and how fickle politics are. Just remember, Russia was invading Finland before Poland got attacked. There was a deal going on they were not going to go to war between Germany and Russia there. As World War II is ramping up, in my mind, it's already started at the point that Russia's taken Finland property. Japan's already in China. It's already started in my mind. Germany marches into West Poland. The little part about Russia marching into East Poland, it's a blind eye.
Right. Well, we've talked about it here on the show a bunch of times, how Stalin was like, 100 times the killer that Hitler ever was, but the reason why he's not painted as the the devil that damn Hitler is because Stalin was on our side. And, it was George Patton that called him out on his stuff. Remember when he said, we're going to be fighting these Bolshevik sons of bitches sooner or later. We might as well go ahead and invade Russia now. Stalin, some of the stuff that he did, and he did it to his own people, no less. But, the history books don't, and you were talking about cancel culture, and that guy, I'm going to hand it to Stalin. He said, it doesn't matter who casts the votes, it matters who's counting them. And by God, I never would have thought here in the United States we would have to apply that, but wow. I don't know. It's I think I'm with you, though, when it comes down to it. There could be... There could be a certain degree of sketchiness there where...
I just won't rule it out. There's this... I kind of had that mindset of... It's kind of the same reason. As long as something is possible, you can't rule it out. It doesn't mean it's probable. Doesn't mean it's likely. But as long as it's possible, pulling out dinosaurs among us, coelacanth, not a dinosaur proper, but still a prehistoric creature living, gators, whatnot,
It's got to make you wonder, because Zelensky, he's no Winston Churchill himself. He's an ass clown, and he was an ass clown before Putin went in there, and that's part of the reason why Putin went after him, because he knew that he was an ass clown. So there's no telling if there was some type of, you know.
Were they trying to pull a fast one? Hey, it's going to look, and we got to keep in mind, and it doesn't mean it's okay. Collateral frickin' damage happens.
Yeah.
I mean, our methodology for warfare is a lot different than it was. Current methodology is not firebombing Dresden like it was in World War II. Nor firebombing, you know, mainland Japan, knowing that most of those houses were wood.
Oh, yeah. And the fire would take them no time flat. You know, in London, for crying out loud, the populace of London were staying in the subways and underground for the amount of damn bombing that, the Germans were putting on them. The civilian populace was the ones that were living underground. You know, it wasn't like those bombs got dropped and they said, excuse me, is this a military target? Well, this is a civilian target. This is an auto zone. Okay, my bad. Okay, this is a Walgreens. All right, we won't fall here. Let me, is that, yeah, that's military? Okay, we'll go over there. Nah. I mean, those bombs dropped, didn't make a damn who they landed on. So, that's a good point. And, you know, how do you go about getting people on your side? You show that the other side is provoking or slaying innocents, and everybody gets their starts hanging the ribbons up on their door and don't even do any type of their digging. Again, you know, self-educating. They just take what CNN tells them and they run with it. So, you know, you could see where there'd be. And right now the whole world's looking at Putin. You know,
he
like he's Darth
a lot
Vader.
Of friends worldwide. Yeah, he's yeah. Interesting watching security measures on his side change over the shit. It's been going on a while. I was gonna say last
month,
but that's well short of the time frame now, ain't it?
Yeah. Now, I was, and it's interesting you bring that up, because I was reading some of the numbers today. And again, you know, you can't just take one source and run with it. You've got to read. You've got to check in different sources. You can't just read all conservative sources and take that. You've got to read liberal sources. You've got to take everything. You know, we are coming up on $91 billion in assistance to Ukraine.
Again,
91.
It's already by
billion.
Surrogate.
I mean, holy shit! You know, you want to talk about, you know, racial inequality and all that kind of stuff here, social injustice here in the United States. Take that $91 billion and invest it in the United States, for Christ's sake. What can we do with that 91? I ain't talking about cutting people a bunch of damn stimulus checks. I'm talking about taking that $91 billion and just putting it to use here.
Well, actually, yeah, you could split that difference. But I tell you what, what's our population? I'm just saying, if you actually did that in stimulus checks, I haven't thought of it that way as until now. That'd be a lot of cash in hand for people.
Because where are we in the United States? What, 370 million people in the United States, I think? So divide
something like that.
Into, yeah, $91 billion by the 370 million and see what that comes up with. And to your point, Todd, that's a check for everybody, even the kids in the roster.
Again, that's
a
raw numbers that way. Exactly.
Yeah. Of course, they're not drinking Similac because we're still – nobody talks about that anymore. There's still no baby milk on the shelves right now. We've just kind of bypassed that story, along with the Paul Pelosi story and the gas story and the Strategic Oil Command and the price of diesel story and all that. But nevertheless,
let me ask, speaking of price of diesel, petrol costs there – ask Tim, because we're on opposite sides of town. He's from the north side. I'm from the south side. Or at the south side. I know. The worst part is we don't even fit into that Aerosmith song about the east side, west side blues. just saying, don't even get Aerosmith lyrics out of it. I saw yesterday driving back, I did see the petrol down to $3.90. That's the cheapest I've seen in about 3 weeks.
Jeez.
I saw it about that, but then it quickly, I'm trying to think of where I was, where it was sub four, but it quickly went right back up.
It was, and again, that was the cheapest. That was yesterday on the drive back. On the drive in the morning, it was $4 there, and that's the cheap place. That's one of the cheapest places I know. I couldn't remember even the Amoco. I drive by an Amoco. I didn't know those things were still around. On the way in the morning, my return route varies, and that was still at $4 yesterday morning. I telework today, so I didn't see anything today. I tell you, small as my vehicle is, it's still frickin'. Just for the record, the four or the $3.90 was paying cash. If you were doing credit, debit, or whatever, it was $4.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, another thing on the numbers with this whole Russian thing, they claim, in what I was reading today, they claim to have lost 90 to 100,000 Russian soldiers in this conflict in 6 months. Now, all right. Again, I am not a historian, but I did spend a night at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Several things are at play here. First off, 6 months, which is what, 180 days, right? Give or take. Again, let's do the math, M-A-F-F, math. Divide 100,000 by 180. Okay, that factors out to about, 800 head of day average of what Russian troops, casualties in this fight with Ukraine. So...
Well, just for the record, we're sitting at 9 months. My point about six was that we're well under or well over six.
Okay. So 9 months would even make the math easier. For averages' sake, so that's 10,000 a month, which would factor out to 2,500 a week. Okay. How many... When you think about all the other foreign conflicts, think about Gettysburg for shit's sake, and y'all understand why I'm dipping way far back when I finish my point. Think about Gettysburg. Think about Normandy. Think about Battle of the Bulge. Okay, the amount of photographs of the dead And I know it sounds morbid and it sounds awful, but that's not my point. This has got to be the strangest conflict when it comes down to media coverage, because, you know, during Desert Storm, and I know a lot of people will say that Desert Storm really wasn't, you know, because you had Iraqis surrendering to damn first aid people, and you had Iraqis surrendering to damn news groups and that kind of jazz. So it wasn't like some other conflicts we've had in the past. But, I mean, Vietnam, God, we all know that time-life picture of that guy getting smoked right there in the street by the VC and everything. I mean, the amount of pictures that we have from World War II, Gettysburg, World War I, Vietnam, where you look at it and you don't let your children see it. You know, you see it and it gets you right in the gut. I mean, we've all seen those old Civil War photos from Gettysburg where these guys are just, you know, bodies all contorted in these, you know, trenches and everything where they, you know, took a musket ball in the neck or something to that effect. But yet, we're dropping 2,500 Russian troops a week, and there's not a whole hell of a lot of documentation on it. You understand what I mean on this?
There seems to be limited footage, although there's been some crazy footage make its way out, like that tank that deliberately ran over the passenger vehicle.
Yeah. But they were, it was an empty street. If me and you were thinking the same
mostly,
way.
Mostly, yeah.
The street.
Yeah, pretty
empty.
Much mostly.
When, you know, you were speaking on the Japanese being in China, the amount of photos that came out at where the Chinese were just, I mean, even when the Chinese were being humped across for miles and miles, villages were being raided and they were being forced out. And there's just pictures of these people with everything they own in a wagon. And the kids are sitting in the wagon, and mom and dad are carrying the wagon because they don't have a mule to pull it. We don't have none of that with this. And I'm not saying that it's not happening. I'm not saying that it's all wag the dog. But it's just strange in a day and time where communication is more, there's no excuse for non-communication now. You know what I mean? Back in the telegraph when you're sitting there. Okay. Todd, you can back me up on this. When my dad, you know, in the 70s, when he went to Okinawa, okay, you know, once every 3 months we'd get this phone call that can only last 5 minutes, or Dad would hijack a ham radio, and we'd get a phone call that way. Otherwise, we were doing the cassettes, talking to a cassette recorder, number it, drop it into the FPO, but nowadays, these guys are over there. And they got cell phones. They're FaceTiming their wives every night here in, you know, in the States. So dare I say that, you know, deployment now ain't what it was 30, 40, even 20 years ago, for Christ's sake. So there's no excuse when every person out there has a cell phone. And these cell phones have better cameras on them than actual cameras. why are we not getting more raw footage? You see where I'm heading with that?
Yeah, it's funny. Probably we don't want to. Oh, my God, I wonder how much it's a generational thing. We don't want to offend their sensibilities, although they see more gore on the video games they play. Fuck, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, for me, it just, yeah, I'll put it to you this way. Let's say, for the sake of argument, my dad, when he was in Vietnam, the stuff that he saw, the stuff that he went through, you know, we've talked about it on the show here. Imagine him with a cell phone back in Vietnam. The pictures that he would have taken of the stuff that he saw and texted it back to my mom, you know.
Posted it on Facebook.
Yeah, or to his dad, or just saved it on his damn phone. You know, email it to the congressman and say, hey, this is what we're dealing with. Could you imagine those young men storming Normandy on D-Day, and they all had the ability to take pictures and to send those pictures to the entire freaking world? What we would have seen? I mean, for the amount of pictures we have already, could you imagine the volume of stuff we would have seen had all those individuals had cell phones on them? So why, in the event that 2,500 Russians are dying a week, according to what the numbers are fed to us, you mean to tell me there's no Ukrainian guys out there taking pictures of dead soldiers going, ha, ha? You know, because there's always going to be that one guy in a group. I mean, how many guys, you know, Todd, you know, during Desert Storm when we had a couple of those guys stacking up some dead Iraqis and that kind of jazz, a couple of them assholes. I mean, out of all the servicemen and women who served over there bravely and diligently and took care of business, damn proud of them. You know, there's that fistful of assholes that crossed the line and took the celebratory fishing pictures of dead Iraqis. And that's America, where we have a certain amount of decorum and everything. You take Ukraine, who naturally has a hate for Russia for what they've been through. If they're knocking off 2,500 Russian soldiers a week, why aren't we seeing more shit? I don't get it.
Got him.
I just don't get it. Mm-mm.
And despite the cyber war, it's going on at the same time. Yeah, they've had stuff augmented. Although the cyber war conversation has fallen off the radar, too.
Yeah. Well, the passing of misinformation, which is otherwise known as propaganda. I mean, hell, up until, and that was one of the biggest things that German civilians were up against, because when the Russians were coming into Berlin, the German civilians were like, huh? No, we're winning this. What are you talking about? Because German propaganda was feeding their civilian populace lies, for lack of a better term, telling them that they were still winning when they weren't. So they were totally unprepared for the Allied forces to go into Berlin. They thought it was just another day at work. They got up, they went over there to Walmart, and they clocked in, and, you know, it just, you know, so right now there's so many opportunities for us to get a firsthand. And, Todd, like you alluded to, that video, that tank rolling over that truck, that wasn't Charles Corolle who did that. That wasn't Peter Jennings. That wasn't Walter Cronkite who did that.
Exactly.
That was some asshole with a phone sitting up in his apartment that took that video. So why aren't we seeing more of that? You know? And as I'm not a warmonger, and I don't want to see dead bodies. But for my $91 billion American dollars, I want to see some shit. I'd like to see the results of our 91. I like to see our $91 billion at work. I want to see some holes in the ground. I want to see some damn asses bleeding on the sidewalk. I you know what I mean? And I don't mean that in a...
You want to see the anti-missile batteries working.
Correct.
Tanks are... watching a tank go tends to be fairly sanitary viewership-wise. Want to see an anti-tank missile taking it out.
Right.
Want to see some guy with the shoulder-fired surface-to-air missile dropping an aircraft, whether fixed or rotary wing.
I'll put it to you this way. If you got a guy at work who's always bumming a ride off you, and you go, well, what about your car, man? And he says, man, it's going to cost me about $500 to get the car back on the road. And you, out of the goodness of your heart, say, you know what? Here's a check for $500. Go get your car fixed. Okay? 2 weeks later, the guy's still bumming a ride off you, and you're like, what's the status on your car? You want to know what the hell happened to that $500, right?
And Dave, we heard you. We're tracking. We're following you.
Yeah.
Just telling you there's sanitation going on.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the street department coming and doing their thing. I feel like, you got to wonder if there's what the unwritten censorship is. And we can imagine Russia clamping down on their folks. That makes perfect sense.
Well, even in Iran, where they were having all those protests and everything. And
More stuff coming out of there.
Well, they took their military and put them out in the streets with damn machine guns and started putting two and three in those protesters apiece. And you want to know how that news got out? Again, it wasn't Peter Jennings. It was the populace with their cell phones taking pictures of these guys just shooting randomly into these protesters. That's how we got the news. Brazil right now. Have you seen the pictures of those protests in Brazil about voter fraud? You can't see the ground for the amount of asses and elbows that are in those pictures. I ain't talking hundreds. I ain't talking thousands. I'm talking tens of thousands of Brazilian people who are packed like sardines, raising hell about voter fraud in Brazil. And how do we know about it? Because people are taking pictures of it with their cell phones and posting it on social media. Because if there's one thing you really can't control, no matter how hard you try, Russia to a certain extent, they already have a pre-existing kind of boogeyman thing installed as it is just by their history. But, I mean, Ukraine, for Christ's sake. You know, why they aren't posting on Facebook?
Well, they're not exactly a republic. Just to be clear.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, yeah.
But you would think there would be more stuff leaked one way or the other. I mean, look. Yeah. I mean, the fact that stuff ever got out from Tiananmen Square, the fact that odds and ends get out of China,
I mean, it's a question that's got to be asked. And then what's even worse is that let's say these errant missiles, let's say it happens again, and more stuff lands in Poland, and Poland says, all right, goddammit, and they roll their sleeves up, and they want to go to somebody's ass. Going back to what I was saying about the Kaiser in Germany, you know, now there wasn't one American citizen who had anything to do with the assassination of the Kaiser. Not one. So you're over there doing a bunch of monkey business. Poland gets mad. Poland decides to retaliate. However, freezing assets in banks, like you said, the cyber attacks. I mean, it doesn't have to be bullets and boots on the ground. It could be anything. Cut off the supply chains, you know, yeah, all that kind of jazz.
Yeah, all the sanctions, you name it.
Yeah, man. And the next thing you know, we're flying our guys over there, man. It's just, and you know, I'll even go back to the Bush thing. There's an argument there, okay? And for those of us who were around when all that was going on, I remember it took Bush close to, what, 3 to 4 months to get it pushed through the House and the Senate to invade Iraq, okay? And granted, the weapon of mass destructions in Iraq were never found.
Not strictly true.
Well, he had mustard gas and that kind of good stuff. But specifically nuclear, okay? But here was my argument with that. Even though Dick Cheney's a crooked ass and there's a lot of behind-the-scenes dealing with him, okay?
Hey, just got a text. Dick Cheney wants to go hunting with you.
No deal. I don't need a bullet in my ass that bad. No thanks. Him or his damn dumbass daughter. But when Sodom had 120 days, give or take. Okay, all right. Tim, I'm going to throw you under the bus. Your mother-in-law is coming over to the house this weekend. Okay? You've got the next 48 hours to do what? Clean that house from top to bottom.
Chill right? Down my spine. Okay. Yes.
So for the next 48 hours, you're not going to sleep. You're going to clean every goddamn square inch of that house. Why? Because your mother-in-law is coming. So if I'm Saddam Hussein and I do have weapons of mass destruction, and I know that Bush is trying to push through a resolution to invade this country, my country, because I'm Saddam Hussein right now, I'm going to take those weapons of mass destruction and move them. Because I've got warning. I've got all the damned answers to the exam right there. He's got full intention. He's just waiting for the American damn, you know, political system to approve the invasion. I'm moving my shit. So that way when they show up and there's nothing there, see, I didn't have anything. You know, how many gangsters have damn tens of millions of dollars stuffed in damn duffel bags and are buried under their sheds in their backyard or stuffed in a damn barrel and just, yeah. You get my point with this. So, again, there's a certain amount of monkey business that goes on with any foreign conflict. It just, this foreign conflict in particular seems to have the least amount of damn coverage of any foreign conflict that I've witnessed in my lifetime.
Detailed coverage, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hell, even when they damn invaded the Falkland Islands years ago, there was more stuff on that, you know. And that was a blip. So,
yeah, that wasn't exactly Yeah, that wasn't the most modern of areas, nor times.
No, no. Gotta make you wonder. And that is the reason why I put on my tinfoil hat and I wear it proudly, because shit just don't add up.
You know? Again, if it's possible, you know, only believe part of what you hear. Well, believe less of what you hear than what you see, because there is always smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hell, we go back years and years on this show, Todd, when Dr. John had his Bigfoot experts on the damn show. And I'd hit him with the same question every time. Why haven't we found Bigfoot bones? Why haven't we found a dead Bigfoot? Why haven't we found Bigfoot shit? For all these damn forest fires that are going on, why haven't we found a Bigfoot running like hell out of the damn woods with the skunks and the deer and the bear and the chipmunks and every goddamn thing else? Because when the forest's on fire, the animals are getting the hell out of Dodge. So is all the fur on a Bigfoot make them fire retardant? Why aren't they running out there and running for damn cool ground? Right? Again.
Well, because they're all seeing out there. Out of California.
Yeah. If they do exist, it'll definitely be in the state of California or quite possibly Arizona. I've lost a lot of faith in Arizona. So,
you know what? Just for something completely different. Post-show.
Who was that? You used to use that line.
I intend to look up the Scorpion Song, Arizona.
Ah. I was listening to the Scorpions earlier today, as a matter of fact. Listened to a little bit of Still Loving You. That damn song is 40 years old, and it is still badass. You don't want to damn listen to that song when you're not in the right frame of mind. Make you think about some chick that dumped you back in the 10th grade, and you're like,
I tell you, mentally, as far as Scorpions, I tend to default to the Zoo.
Oh, man. That's a great tune. Everybody goes,
oh, yeah,
Rocky Like a Hurricane with the Scorpions, but the Scorpions had, that's another one. You know how we always have our B-side conversations here on the show? Scorpions are another one. If you just dig a little deeper than Rocky Like a Hurricane and Winds of Change, you will find that the Scorpions had some incredible that they never play.
I really do dig Winds of Change. Now, just real quick, a beautiful tangent here. I found this acoustic-geared Scorpions thing where they had a ton gliss on with them, and
oh, really?
It was pretty solid. And the coolest thing about the whole acoustic deal is Michael Schenker had the had the Flying V acoustic. I was like, I didn't even know they made those.
I'll have to look that up, because I know a lot of that hair metal acoustic, man, was pretty dangerous stuff, man. If you listen to some, Alice in Chains is not, they're more grunge metal than they are hair metal. But if you listen to their acoustic stuff, wow. Down in a
that's
hole.
That's strictly acoustic. I got to go with, as far as the Unplugged, I got to go with Clapton Layla.
Yeah.
That Unplugged Layla was just freaking ridiculous.
That whole album's good. Eric Clapton Unplugged.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Probably one of the best albums put out. I would definitely put that in the top 10 of albums that just front to back. It's right there with Van Halen 1. You know, when you talk about perfect albums.
Woman and Children first, actually.
That was another. There was Van Halen there for
a bit. Fair Warning.
Yes. Van Halen 2 was good.
I
oh,
both
my God. Yeah, I know. Tim's a 1984 guy, but, man, I tell you what, you go to Van Halen 2, DOA, somebody get me a doctor.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, Dead or Alive, Spanish Fly.
Yep. When Push Comes to Shove, I think that was, which one was that on?
Fair Warning.
That was Fair Warning, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a...
That was after that, people originally thought it was keyboard that was Mike Anthony on bass. As the intro
to it. He never gets the credit for the bass. For his talent.
Never 21 after, just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon. You know what we ought to do? I know we've done music shows in here in the past. Now, of course, next week is our Thanksgiving show, which it may be...
Recipes and music. I don't want to hear shit about the damn football.
Nah, I'm with you. Yeah, in the event we go ahead, we may arrive Wednesday and decide we don't have a show. Just depends on how much mayhem we have going on. I know I've got quite a bit going on myself, but nevertheless, Wednesday.
Let's announce it now. Next week's show is tentative. As is my attendance beyond that.
Yeah.
Just hopefully to be clear, my attendance beyond that for shows going forward is tentative.
Hopefully that'll clear up. I know you've had a tough road to plow, dude, and I always hope it clears up. Obviously, it shows you're doing the job better than correct, and that's the reason why it's being so demanding for you. But nevertheless, man, it's just... been there, done that, and I know exactly what you're going through, man. And it just the worst part about you is that I used to go home to my family at night, despite working, 17, 18 hour shifts. I went home and lay down in my bed. You're out there by yourself, man. I know it's got to be tough, dude. So definitely got nothing but good vibes going your way. And I ain't talking to the Priscilla McCall's ones. I'm talking about the good thoughts. So. But next week
I'll give you my address to send one of those. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say that out loud. I know.
Well, I thought Tim
and Granny's eyes right now are wait what? Yeah, that's all right. In the group chat, I posted our first Thanksgiving joke. My family told me to stop telling Thanksgiving jokes, but I told them I couldn't quit cold turkey.
Oh, hey now.
As we speak.
Thank you. Wonderful crowd. Don't forget to tip your waitstaff. Well, I reckon we need to kick it around the room real quick. Like, we're bound to go into extra innings regardless, but... And, I feel bad sometimes with Granny Hulkster. We will get on the tangents about missiles in Poland and the Nazi regime and no pictures of dead soldiers. And Granny patiently sits and lets us rant back and forth.
realize
until the end of the show, and you're like, damn. Granny got totally left out of the conversation. But, Granny, we love you. You know that.
You're allowed to chime in.
That's fine. I know I'm allowed to chime in, but that's fine. You guys, I just periodically call in whenever I can. I'm not like a normal regular here, but, I try to do my part, But that's
what, Granny? We're going to agree with you completely. Nothing about you is normal.
I was going to say, you're irregularly normal.
Well, when I have friends like you all, Todd Saxon, I sure don't need no enemies.
That's right.
Keep
with
your friends
like
close and the heels closer.
Oh, I like it.
No, but seriously, guys, I do love you all, and you know, I'm proud to call you all my friends and consider each one of you part of my extended family, you know, so it's all good.
We love you too, hon.
Outstanding. Yeah, definitely heading back towards you. So any kind of parting shots you have this evening, young lady?
Well, I just hope that, you know, like I said, my husband and my son and I were going to see my mom this Friday. They're doing a Thanksgiving dinner at the assisted living place where she lives at on Saturday. So we're going to go get a motel up there, spend Friday night, stay there till almost checkout time Saturday, and then go over to where she lives at and visit with her. And I'm going to take a little bit of an afternoon nap, because they're going to serve dinner from 5:30 to 7:30, and then we're going to drive back to Arkansas Saturday night. So, you know,
wow.
We won't get home till late. But, you know, I just hope that everybody has a blessed Thanksgiving holiday with their friends and family, and, you know, just hold your loved ones close, you know, because none of us is promised tomorrow.
That is so true. So true.
Such enough.
And, yeah, without a doubt, pass on our best and a happy Thanksgiving to your mom and everything and all those folks with her at the facility. And you, make sure you travel safe. You guys, you know, be careful out there and keep yourselves on the straight and narrow.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because sometimes the holidays, we get to running ourselves so hard during the holidays, we end up making ourselves sick. Just because we're trying to get so much in. So, yeah, definitely be careful. And in the event that we don't talk to you, we hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And the same for your crowd. All right?
Yep. Yep.
Good to have you aboard this evening, dear.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
Now, Tim, talk to me. What kind of parting shots do you have?
Well, first, I know Todd said no football, but I take that as meaning around the Thanksgiving time period. So I do want to give a shout-out to your team, I believe, as the Washington, I'm going to say Redskins. They beat the remaining or the last undefeated team this last week. And now, of course, the real laugh will begin because the Colts get to face them at home here. Jeff Saturday's second
when
game.
When they're all good. Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
I watched
undies over that game.
What's that?
I had a ruined pair of undies over that game. I was watching that game, and I'm going, is this actually freaking happening right now? You know?
Yeah, I swore I wasn't close to April Fool's Day or anything when I was watching that game, but it was shocking. But, no, it's, yeah, the same. And
oh,
you know,
it was shocking, like the thermostat?
Not yet.
Nice.
Full circle, baby. Full circle.
Yes. But and yes, as far as me, I know I didn't chime in a whole lot tonight. I tend to kind of doing some work in the background. I'm in the same line roughly as Todd, so it's kind of rough these days. Try to find time to get what I can done here. So, unfortunately, sometimes it means sitting in the background on the podcast and trying to knock stuff out. But, nonetheless,
totally understand.
I am.
Did you say knock stuff out or rub one out?
Oh man. I can't multitask that well, so it's got to be one of the other. I'm just going to leave it at that. But hope everybody has
reason
a good
why we don't do Zoom.
Yeah. And looking forward to
shit.
What's the guy doing? Is he fucking mayonnaise?
Tim, did you have something to add in the conversation?
Anyway, everybody have a good week. Looking forward to turkey next week. Peace.
Oh, good grief.
Outstanding. What's the old joke? When you get it on with three other people, it's a foursome. When you get it on with two other people, it's a threesome. And that is why they call Tim handsome. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Crown. Be here all week. Thank you. Don't forget to tip your waitstaff. Todd. Now that my bad dad jokes are back behind us, hit me up with some good news there, man. What you got?
The man, got to say, honestly, I half-ass hope we can pull off next week, you know, the old recipe shit and all that traditional dishes with the family. I know our traditional dishes aren't necessarily going to change a whole lot. What the hell I'll do under circumstances is always kind of random, pretty cool. Been a little more flexible. The family's always been flexible. Look, I know we covered a lot of shit this week. We were all over the damn place. Imagine that. I know it's a shock. But welcome to us. It's what we are. The Tim's a good one for saying squirrel. And we do that all the damn time on this show. All the damn time. Look, as much grief as we give each other, there's a lot of affection here. Hope you understand it. Hope you all can feel it. Suspect, hope, that's why you're listening. And be aware that we watch. We got people we know. Different people, different shit going on. The struggle is real. Stay strong out there. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another.
Right on, man. Definitely. Definitely. And like you've alluded to in the past, is that if you don't take care of yourself, it's hard to take care of other people. So you gotta keep it between the ditches, you know what I mean? So, yeah, definitely great to have you aboard, and I understand the work thing and all. And, yeah, it's next week we get together and talk about
way far beyond it. But, yeah. Look, we got people that ain't hanging out with us tonight, whether it's Dr. John, whether it's Papa Stro, whether it's Velvet, a ton of other folks that have jumped in off and on. Should mention our girl Liz, her and her spouse are expecting. Just wanted to make sure for those who had questions and stuff. Pretty freaking exciting shit.
Most definitely. And they've been trying for a while now, so it's good to see things finally falling in their direction with that. And they're going to knock the parenting thing out of the ballpark. I mean, they'll...
Oh, yeah. They're going to have all the twisted, weird shit that a good parent should have.
Yeah.
Not sure that they're going to pull off the Monty Python stuff. I'll work on that.
Nah, that kid will be Darth Vader for Halloween on its second birthday. I foresee this kid having some good times, because this child's going to have parents that ain't worried about it, and they're going to have plenty of love and plenty of fun. That is
for
damn certain.
For sure.
Yeah, best of luck to Sparkle. Need to send her a message and just check in. But yeah,
just
definitely
silliness. We had conversation on naming stuff. I think she was looking for more whimsical reasoning. Deep dive cultural anthology and freaking shit like that for our kids' names. But the basic line was, I told her, look, for the kids' first and middle name, got to roll off your tongue when you're pissed off.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? And don't name your kids with the same first letter, because God knows my mom, you know, me and my brother Dan, It was Daniel, damn it, you two.
Oh, shit, it don't matter. It don't matter. Who the hell we kidding? Look, as a parent speaking, be damn pissed off at one of the pets, call him a kid's name. Pissed off at one of the kids, call him a pet's name. Forget it.
Yeah.
It's all over.
Matter of fact, right before the show, I was the pup and the hound were getting a little too rowdy, and I rolled right on down. Missed. No, Sadie, God damn it, you two right there. So
oh,
I never
man,
really
I don't know why, but I just heard you getting ready to go short of HR pupping stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of, I was rolling them off, man, and never got around to their names. I just went ahead and did the old, you know, the two-finger point thing. And I've got a little bamboo stick. Dale had bought this dollar store scarecrow Halloween yard ornament that she never put out. Well, I tossed the damn thing out. But it had this nice bamboo rod that went in. So all of it went in the garbage except for the bamboo
rod.
I carry that damn thing around like some Vietnamese POW camp colonel now. That damn stick comes in handy. And dogs get a little rowdy.
What's so funny is I know you've got freaking bamboo growing around the house.
Yeah, but it's too hard to cut that shit down, whereas I could just take that stick.
Oh, Lord. Oh, that takes effort.
Damn, yeah. Why would I go about doing that when I could just go to Dollar General and buy something or wait on Dale to buy some half-assed decoration she never puts out and then a couple of years later toss it out and keep the stick out of it? It's all about logistics. So, now,
well,
speaking
I'm
of...
Well, I'm going to tell you where that stick can definitely go after that.
She'll never get it away from me. I walk around with that thing in my hand all the time now.
Yeah, in your hand.
Walk around, I'm just pointing with it and everything. Kind of like
trying to do some pseudo deacon.
Yeah, I got my bamboo stick.
Calling it Lucille.
Yeah. I call a song. I got to get me a Vietnamese prostitute like Mi Ling or something like that. Name of that because bamboo and the whole Vietnam thing kind of goes hand in hand. But, yeah, that stick's actually coming pretty handy. So, but Todd, great to have you aboard to save the man. Appreciate you throwing in the input. Always great to have you aboard, brother. So real quick, like for me, I've already covered all the con monkey business. That's all good. 27 years ago tomorrow, a young lady asked me if I wanted to go to lunch. And I said, yeah, I'm hungry. And where I was just looking to dive into some chicken fingers, she was actually deeming this thing as a date. And 27 years later, we are still here. She's touching the thermostat when she shouldn't. But tomorrow we'll make it me and Dale's 27 years together, 24 years married anniversary. And
Happy anniversary.
I love that you remembered the first date thing. The I hope you can't listen. I'll so pay for this shit. Just saying the fact that you remember the date of the first date. Yeah, well done.
It's embedded.
We appreciate the fact that you remember that. And frankly, you both, look, just share sympathy cards. just buy one card and send it to us.
Yes. Hey, she's got nobody to blame but herself. She's had 27 years to walk away. You know what I mean? And she just doesn't have the gumption to do it. Now, real quick, today was a good example of how 27 years together kind of comes to the advantage. I had to get some work done on my truck. And there's some other concerns that I need to get done. So I was getting an estimate on it. Well, Dale, of course, and without getting into the deep, gory details, Dale's not without help up top, if you understand my meaning, which is probably part of about 90% of the reason why I was attracted to her. So she's wearing, she looked good today. I mean, she looks good every day, but today she was wearing an outfit that was just like totally nailing it. And, yeah, she had a little bit of cleavage action going on and everything. So this mechanic, when I'm talking to him about the stuff in my truck, the whole time I'm talking to him, his eyes are shifted to the right. Okay. So, I know he's staring at Dale's boobs. I ain't got old hat for me now. 27 years, and ain't the first time somebody's looked at her boobs. You know, I'm over it. So anyhow, he gives me the estimate, and the estimate was, you know,
the real worry, just for the record, is when you stop.
That's when everything comes to a halt. But the estimate was a couple $100, and I was, and she was like, "Wow!" And I told her, I says, "Well, you got to figure it's probably about $300 less because he was staring at your tits the whole time he was writing a thing. So that probably saved us about $300." So, yes, after 27 years, if you don't think that your wife's boobs can come to your financial rescue, you are absolutely wrong. So, but no, happy anniversary to her. We'll probably end up at Hardee's for our anniversary dinner tomorrow, but nevertheless, it's We've been through a lot, and more than I care to rehash, but here we stand 27 years later, four grandkids, four dogs, two kids, a house, countless amount of vehicles, and good times and bad times. We're still here, and we have not clawed each other's eyes out. And for as many people that can't make it 27 minutes without hurting one another, we can go 27 years. Amen. And
yeah, well played, guys.
To have her by my side. Despite the fact that she shows her ass at cons, and she makes my friends put her damn band on her wrist out in the parking lot.
Oh, Lord, true. So true. and not just do it, imperiously do it.
That's the closest Todd has ever become to being me. That day when he was just innocently walking through the parking lot and got hard charged by my wife wanting to know why I wasn't picking up my phone. Yes. Yes.
Oh, it was straight up guilt by association.
True story. There was
funny
a play. There was a play made. She didn't run the play. But it was still my fault, even though she didn't run the play. But unfortunately, you know, Todd used the tool damage earlier. That is exactly what Todd was. Todd was coming up to the venue with nothing but intention of having the best day of his life at the con, and was met by my wife in total flame mode, wanting to know why I wasn't taking
credit, because she's like, "Who's this chick?"
That's right, because Yuki was with you, wasn't she?
Yeah.
That
was an event on so many levels.
Yes. Yes, that was definitely a Hall of Fame experience. That was a great I miss those shows, despite how they declined.
Yeah, it's so fucking funny. I go, don't worry, Yuki. It just means we're family. Huh?
Something those con shows, there was always something that happened. And by God.
Well, the best part was just going to the security, the cop running security at the door and like, "Dude, his wife's high and right. You let me in to go pee. You know I'm legit. You know I ain't trying to do anything. My intent is go to Dave Atwell, get the wristband for his wife to come in early so she can come up and see you there, you know, and get through and go see her husband because he's in that dead zone in the building and he's not answering the text, and I'm getting my ass whooped right now." Dude, he couldn't open the door fast enough.
No, the whole damn staff just stopped what they were doing and got her in the building. And you know, if you ever meet my wife, she's fun size. She's like a Smurf. There's nothing to her. I mean, she's, what, 5 foot tall wearing heels? And, man, hard charge the whole damn building. Come in, start chewing my ass. And I was like, but your band was at the table. All you had to do was go to the table like I asked you to do, and they were waiting on you. They had the full description. They had names.
That's a true part. We had to walk. I had to walk from you with you to go to the table to get the band.
Huh. And I was like, don't get mad at me because you know the phone service is dead in this building. You know, damn full of well, why don't you just go up to the table and say, hey, because they were waiting on you. And then it was
the funny part is I'm still trying to figure out if on the speakers with the music, if it was coincidence that they were playing the Imperial March.
Yeah. That is her ringtone for the longest time. Yeah, they're for a while. Whenever she called, you hear. And that's why when we were in the movie theater watching Ted, and that was Mark Wahlberg's theme for his girlfriend calling. Dale turned around. She says, "Did you do to me?" The whole damn theater went up laughing. I was like, "Damn, okay." But it's all over there. It's all good.
Imagine that.
Yes,
I'm so going to pay for this thing. Man, tell me Dale ain't listening.
No, she's on the other side. She's right now.
North
she's,
side, obviously.
I thought she was going to join us for the show this evening, but it was right before the show when I had made a remark about the damn air conditioner running when I'm out here burning trash in a barrel in the backyard. So she's probably inside storing up a bunch of cold remarks for me when I get inside. You young took the damn thermostat if I want, and you can't say that about it. I can already hear it.
Hey, you guys do know you have some temperatures showing as 28, 31, 28.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal where they're at. That's well below their coldest lows.
You going to put them cold-ass feet on me tonight? Uh-uh. And I've got one of those weighted blankets. My blanket weighs like 15 pounds. It's one of those weighted things. If you haven't gotten one of those things, go out and buy one. They are the most comfortable. I know people will say, oh,
man, I need
to
get one for a year.
Man,
have
those
to get one for here.
Are cat's ass, dude. I tell you what, they are.
I wonder
amazing.
If I can get one before Yuki comes here. Don't matter. I won't get the use of it, but at least if she uses that, I can have the rest of them.
The only problem is they don't fluff like a regular blanket. So, like, if you roll over in the middle of the night, sometimes they twist up. But otherwise, man, those weighted blankets are just the shit. I mean, plus, you pull a couple dogs in there with you and everything. You've got, you know, a couple hundred pound of dog with you, and you got that weighted blanket. Dude, you're warm. You're out like a light. Quality sleep, man. It's just getting to that point. And then, of course, you know, the wife's got the slipper.
You know what? That's old school with our girl Liz Sparkle. The pets.
I know Tim has some yin-yang on that, given the farm creatures he got going on and the special dog purchased within the last, 2 years now, Tim?
Yeah, something like that.
Granny loves her critters.
Absolutely.
Look.
Yeah, Liz just lost the doggy, didn't she?
Let me tell you. It is
pretty cool how laughing, whether dog, cat, whatever. I think one of my favorite stories is I managed to go get a nap. We were watching the Yorkie for my son. And I was back there taking a nap. The Yorkie and cat, and the cat, household cat at the time was singular cat, just Kylo. Yorkie crawled up between my legs, spread my legs, and the cat crawled up right by, next to the Yorkie, and the two were laying there. And I was stuck. It's not like I could frickin' move at that point. They were both as comfortable as could be, laying next to each other. They weren't hugging or anything, but they were, you know, they were right there. And the son came in. He was going to grab the dog, and he was like, I can't get him. That's just too cute. And just walked the hell out of the room. They were just, it was just, but you know what? They're doing it. They'll make you uncomfortable, that kind of stuff. But when they're that happy with you and that kind of stuff, yes, it was mutually effective. They were using me for a heater, and they were my heater. It just, yeah, it just, there's a thing. Whether it's the dog snuggling and the cat snuggling, don't matter. Cats win because they can purr.
That's like my son's dog. I mean, when we go down to Anthony's, I mean, the stereo is like right there next to me. I mean, no matter what. And when Anthony had to have his cataract surgery, you know, I had to stay down there, you know, helping with the eye drops and stuff like that. And I would sleep on his living room couch because he just has the one-bedroom apartment. So I would sleep on the couch. Well, one night he came to get Mysterio, and Mysterio was laying next to me, and he went to pick up Mysterio. And Mysterio just, he's like a Chihuahua mix. He's like, rawr, growled at him, like, don't you take me away from my grandma. You know?
True story. I mean, yeah, that's funny. It's true story. We were watching, Karen was deployed. We were watching Ollie. Casey walked into the bedroom to come get Ollie. And he growled at her, and Ollie was just, or Casey was flabbergasted. She was just like, she could not believe that Ollie growled at her.
But that's like when we first went to the shelter, you know, to look for a dog for Anthony, you know, David, he went back, and it was December. It was like December 14th of 2011. And his little kennel mate had just been adopted 2 days before he was. And at that time, Mysterio was like 10 weeks old, a whole whopping 6 pounds, you know. Now he's like 15 pounds, you know. But it's like, you know, he's kind of tall. He's not, you know, he's not a full-blooded Chihuahua. I think he's got some dachshund in him, you know, or whatever, because he's got that long nose like a dachshund. But David opened that cage
door. Well,
he ain't
going to be tall if he's a dachshund, just saying.
Well, he's taller than a Chihuahua. He's bigger than a Chihuahua. I mean, he almost looks like he's even got some, like, terrier in him or something. You know, I don't know what kind he actually is, but he's the best little rescue dog. I mean, he's been the best companion for my son. But David opened that cage door, and, man, that little puppy bounded out right inside of David's work coat. Like, you're taking me home tonight, you know?
Nice.
And we went to put him back, and that little dog, yip, yip, and he started yelping, like, don't you dare put me back. So I called the shelter the next day, and they were actually closed, but they let me bring my son up so he could take Mysterio home, you know, the next day. And that was 11 years ago, so.
Damn, the whole "you're taking me home tonight" reminds me of my high school girlfriend to anyone.
Yeah. You talk about the damn pot-bellied pigs. I've taken a couple of those home, too. So it's it was Mickey Gilley that's saying, all the girls get prettier at closing time, right? So,
Sue,
Hey, beauty I take offense is in that. The eye of the beer holder.
Tim did get that you got run over. Say it again.
I said I take offense to that. I have taken home a potbelly pig.
Wait, we just admitted to doing the same thing. Just wait a minute. Are you saying that you take it personal because you did it with the real potbelly pig?
Yeah, you did it in broad daylight where we did it at like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, and further, it was forced on me, and I had no alcohol.
Those are the best ones, though. Those are the ones you roll over in the morning and don't regret. God, my mom would not be proud. I can already hear it. The one time she listens to the show,
David, I listened to your show last night. Don't appreciate your pig joke.
Oh, man. Well, guys, it's getting late. I'm sure the British lady hasn't spoken yet, but there's a possibility that it's already been cut off since we're in the extra innings. We're going like 18 innings deep right now. But nevertheless, I think I'll do the manual shutdown because I'm already looking in the back window and I see Rob throwing his hands up in the air and I see the video he was watching at a standstill, which means the fantastic from internet has bitten the dust. So it's pretty good. You can just turn around and look in your house and see exactly what's going on without hearing anything. You can pretty much detail what's going down. I know we were talking about getting that Fire Stick, and I says, you know, we can cut cable and get Fire Stick, but you got to have good internet to use the Fire Stick, and our internet sucks, so they kind of got us in a damn headlock here, you know, Al Capone. So, but nevertheless, we'll go ahead and I'll do a manual shut off from the phone here if I can pull that part up. How do I do that? Let's see here. I do that and I press that button. Okay. Hang up there. We'll give that a shot. Anyhow, appreciate everybody joining us this evening. And we will do our level best to join together next week, even if it's an abbreviated show for Thanksgiving Eve. Try to get together. That way we can exchange the Thanksgiving greets and cranberry sauce stories. But I hope everybody out there has a very safe week. Take care of one another.
Oh, Lord, I hope cranberry sauce ain't a euphemism.
Damn right. Cranberry sauce, baby. Out the can, not the mashed up berries. Nevertheless, hope everybody has a wonderful week. Happy anniversary to my lovely wife, Dale. And we will talk to everybody next week here at Pop Culture Stars. Thanks again, everybody. Big love.
Good night, everybody.
Appreciate you guys joining me.
Night, all.
All right, British lady, we're going to do the manual. You got to be on the ball. Here we go. Okay, that's not how we do it. British lady, let's try
this way.
Where's
that compound British lady?
Goodbye. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3, British lady.